we are delighted now to welcome Dr. Joy DeGruy. We've talked quite a bit on this show about Dr. Joy DeGruy's work, her path-breaking work on post-traumatic slave syndrome. She's updated her book. There's a new edition of the classic post-traumatic slave syndrome. And Dr. Joy challenges all of us, from challenging those who say chattel slavery and its aftermath is old history and should be put behind us, to uncovering and drawing out truth about what many would prefer to keep hidden. The impact of chattel slavery still not on the descendants of those enslaved, but also on people who are not descendants, indeed on the entire society. Dr. Joy DeGruy holds a Bachelor of Science degree, a Master's degree in Social Work and Psychology, as well as a PhD in Social Work, decades of experience, and she also has worked with numerous academic institutions, including Harvard, Yale, Oxford, Morehouse, Fisk, and many others. Dr. Joy DeGruy, welcome.
It is wonderful to be here.
Okay. Dr. Joy, I'm speaking with you within the context now. This is post-Charlottesville. Even as we speak, there were 3 days of people just protesting there in St. Louis as yet another police officer got off from killing a Black man. And I just want to share a short clip and then get some response from you from Alicia Garza. She is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter.
When we look at this 2016 outcome, clearly something's broken. But what does that say about the larger question of whites and blacks working together, and other non-white Americans? Is common cause still possible? Can we come to a place of pushing progress forward? And if so, how?
I mean, it's a simple but complicated question. The basic answer is we have to figure out how to do it. But the complication in it is the question of for what. And so, of course, I think that if there is to be a functional democracy in this country, then we have to figure out what connects us, and we have to stop being afraid of what is different about each of us. And I use the word afraid very intentionally. I don't use it flippantly. I think that fear is something that really drives the Trump agenda. It drives Trumpism, and it drives really this notion that somebody's out to get what you deserve, and they're getting things that they don't deserve, they're not working hard enough for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is really what has consolidated people around things that don't actually make any sense in terms of saving our lives, saving the life of the planet, or creating a world that is more equitable. The other thing I think gets in the way, though, is that we tend to not go deep enough in terms of a few places. One I just mentioned in my earlier answer, which is I think we still have a lot of reckoning to do with how we came to be. And part of what happens is that we erase the genocide of indigenous people. We erase the enslavement of African people in this country from the narrative of how we got here. And so that means that it results in a narrative of who we are that is a lie. It's just false. And until we start to look that in the face with courage and bravery, we're not going to move very far.
Well, Dr. Joy DeGruy, listening to that, and the source for that is The Nation magazine. It sounds like she's read your work, right?
Well, you know, I certainly hear the same and point and agree emphatically with her. I'm very happy to see younger people out there, you know, really speaking truth, you know, speaking truth, because that's exactly right what she's saying. We cannot look at America's current situation outside the construct of our history. And there is this kind of consistent, you know, like mythology. I know that Peggy McIntosh calls it this whole idea of the myth of meritocracy. And that's a myth that every individual is the only unit, the actual individual, the only unit of a society that whatever happens for that one unit of society, that individual, has to have been the, you know, the result of what he or she wanted, worked for, or what he or she earned, or what they deserved. And it rests on this assumption that how people feel and think, how they behave, what they're capable of accomplishing, are not influenced by any social system or circumstance. That's the myth of meritocracy. And so you do have folks that go, well, you know, we earned it. And, you know, they wouldn't have to look very far to figure out they didn't earn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a fundamental assumption that people just have and keep. And I think she's also very, very right that we don't have a lot of options here. We have to figure this out. You know, and the reason is because we won't have a country. This is not going to go away. And folks are not today, youth and children and adults, are not willing to accept antiquated systems that are unjust and inequitable. So we have to know that, you know, there are plenty of folks on both sides who say, you know, if I can't have it, then you can't either. Right.
Yeah.
So that breeds a whole nother set of behaviors and kinds of potentials for real major clash. But we do. We have to work together. And I am of that opinion. I'm right there with her. We have to do this. This is not an option. We got to figure out how to work through this, and we have to figure out how to do that together.
Dr. Joy, I have watched many times the talk you gave, an event Sojourner Truth hosted at Holman United Methodist Church, because it is so rich, and I try to play clips from it as much as possible. But one of the things you talked about in this whole thing about cognitive dissonance, but also the lack of empathy. And you describe how in the lynching days, you know, a whole family would show up to watch the lynching and the impact that that has. I mean, not only this horrors, the impact on Black people and descendants of enslaved, but also on white people. Like, what does that mean for them? Dr. Joy?
Yes. You know, I think it's like anything else. You have to, and for those who are your listeners, you know, many of us have been around folks who normalize trauma. Like if you go and you'll see children and they'll see something, a car accident or someone's been shot, but their affect, their behavior is almost excitement. It's the opposite of what it should be.
Mm.
It's called inappropriate affect. Well, imagine, you know, whole family after church going to view someone being lynched. You know, what do you do with that? You have to then normalize that behavior. And for a child, which is a horrific thought, or even, you know, you have to then look at that person. It's not a whole person. Otherwise, what is mom and dad, and what are we as people that we would do this to another person? So what they do is they find a way to say it's not that bad for them. And in order to do that in that context, you have to, you know, in effect, dehumanize them and to allow yourself to manage the trauma. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially for children, they're going to go, oh, well, they're not like us. And if you start looking at, you know, you come to my training or read the book, you realize that it actually has translated into the literature. Or even in medicine, you read Harriet Washington's work, where people stop believing we felt pain. Even to 2017 research that looked at physicians and medical people who really believe we didn't feel pain on the same level as, you know, we don't feel pain on the same level as white people. And I think all of this comes from this way of trying to normalize a tragedy and to somehow minimize our humanity. So I think the ultimate piece is you have folks who can't feel it. They can't feel it because for generations they've been taught and it's been modeled, you don't have to feel anything for them. So it shouldn't surprise us that we see this lack of empathy or embrace. And, you know, that, and again, that gets stacked up in the DNA. And so the good news, you know, I tell everyone, the good news is that we can change that trajectory.
Mm.
We can change it, but we can't change it if we don't look at it, if we don't acknowledge it. We can't We can't change those feelings and thoughts and behaviors and ideas until we know better. And where we are is we keep denying and refusing to address this big old ugly boil, and it's festering and it's becoming infected. And when it bursts, it's going to spill on everything.
That's right. And we just really have a minute or so, but I saw that a student was killed, a white student was killed by police at a university. I don't have the name of the university in front of me, and there were some protests yesterday, and 3 people were arrested. And Dr. Joy, I was just thinking that of when we think of all of the young Black people who've been killed in the protests going on now in St. Louis, you know, that people think, well, that's happening to somebody else. That's happening to Black folks. But, you know, when people start, behaving in this way, then it can trickle up. I don't know about trickle down, but things do trickle up in that way. Just a quick final comment from you, Dr. Joy.
I think that, you know, I always say this to people, you know, after the third day of my talk is going to actually be in the community. And a really dear friend of mine is bringing a theater production of Henry Box Brown, which is a true story based on a true story. It's a musical, but it's based on a true story of a man, an enslaved African man whose family was sold. And he then actually mailed himself to freedom.
Wow.
The reason why that becomes a very important piece is I think we should show up in community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be asking everyone from my conference to show up at that play and to be part of the talk back that's going to happen after the play with community, with folks who don't have a clue, to folks who are very informed, to people who I don't know what the response will be. But we have to learn how to stay in the room. So I guess my final word is, the only way to deal with this is if we stay in the room. Doesn't matter. We don't all have to agree on everything. But we have to agree on some fundamental things, that each one of us has a right to move and live in the world and be treated with respect and dignity. We don't have to agree on everything, but we have to agree on our intrinsic worth and humanity. And then we can begin to move forward, but not if people get in their feelings and leave the room. We got to stay in the room. This is us. This is ours. And this is the inheritance of our children.
Dr. Joy, in these troubled times, you know, we need your voice more than ever. And I know how busy you are, but I hope you don't mind. We're going to be pursuing you again very, very soon to be on the show and hopefully have a bit more time with us. We appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.